Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture because it says a lot to us as Gentiles. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Get this next verse. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, She send her away, she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." When grace suspends the rules. When grace suspends the rules. This passage of Scripture has intrigued me for quite a few years. And I've studied it. And some of you have maybe heard me say some things tonight that I've already said before. But the thing that perplexed me most about this passage of Scripture is that a woman with a legitimate need came to Christ and he answered her not a word. Now, we know she's a Gentile. In fact, she's a sworn enemy of the Israelites, a woman of Canaan. But you know what? You look in Jesus' ministry, and he helped other Gentiles. So why wouldn't he help this lady? He went out of his way a lot. In fact, he suspended the rules for a lot of people. He suspended the rules for feeling one day because he said, I'm thirsty and I have to go and I must needs go through Samaria. And he went through Samaria and he waited there on a woman. One woman. But it was the right woman. He told her all that she had done in her life and she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And he said, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. And I like what she said. Give me this water. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I want a new start. And Jesus answered her prayer, made her a new creature. And she went back into town. In fact, he stayed a couple more days. And she said, come see a man. That's a good text right there. Come see a man. That told me everything I've ever done. But even though he told me everything I'd done, he forgave me of what I'd done. And he suspended the rules for a Samaritan. Samaritans were half-breeds. Half Gentile, half Jew. And that, you know from that portion of the Scripture in John chapter 4 that Samaritans had no dealings with Jews. But he suspended the rules and went out of his way for one woman. But it was the right woman. He suspended the rules one day because of freedom. He took the time out of his schedule to go across the Sea of Galilee for one man. One man. He had a nickname. They called him Legion. And that was a Gentile country. Gadara was. And there this man was, bound with chains and fetters. He would cut himself with stones and no man could help him. They just given him up, left him out in the wilderness alone to die. But Jesus heard the cry of one man and knew that if he would just get to that man, he was the right man. And he suspended the rules and went across the Sea of Galilee for one man to set him free. And he was clothed in his right mind when they came back and saw him. And I bet he basically said, my name ain't Legion anymore. I've got a new name. I've got new clothes. Hallelujah. I'm a new person. And you know he had an impact on that community because when Jesus Christ went back to Gadara a few books later, you'll find that they came and thronged him just to touch the hem of his garment. And he was a Gentile. And he also suspended the rules because of faith. A Roman centurion came to him one day and said, "My servant is at home lying sick of the palsy." Jesus Christ, the water walker, the way maker, the lame man healer, said, "Not only will I heal your servant, I'll come to your house." A Roman centurion. They hated the Jews and the Jews hated them. But yet Christ suspended the rules and said, "You know what? I'll come to your house and I'll see that the miracle is taken care of." But the Roman centurion said, "You don't have to come all the way to my house. Thou son of David, just speak the word. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed." And he looked at that man and he turned to his closest followers, the ones that had seen the miracles, the ones that had been there for the water into wine, the ones that had been there for the walking on the water. And he turned to him and said, "I have never seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel." The ones who should have had faith. But yet a Gentile, a Roman centurion, had more faith than his closest followers. So you can see my predicament with this passage of Scripture. Why would this woman, having a legitimate need, a Gentile, when she comes to Christ, he says nothing. Nothing. Now this woman, think of what she went through every day. Her daughter, 4 points in this sermon, I'll give them to you at the head of time, and that way you can write them down and you'll figure them out later. But there's the devil, the damsel, the dog, and a deliverer. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Really, the role of this mom had been reduced to nothing but a caretaker. Every single day, she would wake up to do the same thing over and over again. That's the definition of insanity almost. She would never really have hope that she would ever have a normal conversation with her daughter. Would she ever get to plan a wedding? Would she ever talk about a date that they had with a boyfriend? Normal conversations with a mom and a daughter, she would never have because her daughter was vexed with the devil. Falling at the mouth, convulsions, seizures. This mom had to put up with it every single day, and it's obviously that she reached her last rope's end. But then she heard that Jesus came to her town. And she said, "You know what? I tried everything else, and I've got to get to this man called Jesus. They say he can heal the sick. They say he can cause the blind eye to see. And I've got to get to Jesus." Can you picture that day, Kevin, going through the town, saying, "Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's Jesus at? Where's Jesus at?" John the Baptist had just died and he was gone off into a house to be alone. Maybe to mourn his friend's passing. But yet this woman was persistent. And she came to him and cried with a loud voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." That's an interesting phrase, "thou son of David." You know, it was against the law for a Gentile to call him "thou son of David." That was a Hebrew name. Only Jews were allowed to call him "thou son of David." You know what that tells me? This woman knew exactly who Jesus was. She knew exactly who he was. And she came and called him by the name that he wanted to be called. The same name that the Roman centurion called him. She came and said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But Jesus said nothing. I've learned something in 10 years of ministry. That even when Jesus isn't saying anything, he's still saying something. Look what he said. First of all, look what his disciples said. "Send her away, she crieth after us." Yes, she really came to see them. I hope we don't have any full-time professional gospel singers here. But it makes me sick sometimes to go to concerts. Because that's all the people think they're there for, to see them. A lot of these groups will come into churches during revival and they'll tear everything up because they think everyone's there to see them. But I don't know about you tonight. I hope you didn't come here to see me. I hope you came here to worship God. I ain't that vain to think you came here just to see me. I know you came because you want revival. I sure hope you do. I sure hope you do. Send her away. She crieth after us. And Jesus, what did He say? He said, I'm not sent, but I'm the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So He answers my question. Why didn't He say anything? Because He was going to have to suspend the rules one more time. He was not sent to her people. Jesus Christ was sent for the Jews because they had rejected God and His law. They went without a prophet for 400 years. John the Baptist came crying in the wilderness, there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bend down and unloose. But there's one that's coming that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Jesus came to His own people. Was He talking to her? I don't think so. Was He talking to His disciples? I don't think so. I think He was talking to His daddy. But Dad, this ain't what you sent me here to do. I know I've done it already, but if she could just wait just a little bit longer, what she don't know is there's going to come a day very shortly that I'm going to carry a cross. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to climb up the hill. And I'm going to fulfill your salvation plan. And Dad, you know that the veil of the temple is going to be rent from top to bottom because you're going to ordain my death. And when that veil is rent from top to bottom, that means everyone will have access to you. Everyone will have access to me. So if she would just wait, I won't have to suspend the rules again. But this woman didn't have time to wait. Look at what she did. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. The shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, help me. In fact, someone else prayed that prayer in a different way. Peter prayed, Lord, save me. Remember, he was out on the water and stuff. Had to get pulled up. One step away from his victory because all Jesus had to do was just reach down and get him. One step away. Oh, a lot of us are right there, aren't we? One step away. But she said, Lord, help me. But what I like about it is she came and worshipped Him. And over in Mark, you'll find that she came and fell at His feet and worshipped Him. Now, Pastor, help me out right here, please. I appreciate your pastor and what he's doing with the prayer requests. Because to be honest with you, I get so wearisome over prayer requests. Now, please hear me out before you throw me out and don't ask me back. Most of the time, prayer requests are nothing but jokes. They're praying for Aunt Bessie's toenail. They're praying for their dog that got ran over. And I hardly ever hear. I've heard it here this week and I appreciate that. But I hardly ever hear a request for someone that's lost. And they'll go on and on and on for 25 or 30 minutes giving prayer requests that really, for that particular point in time, can be waited till later. And then they pray for about 1 minute. Something wrong there. Got our priorities mixed up, don't we? But this lady didn't do that. This lady didn't come and say, oh Lord, I have a brother at home and you know what, I have some bills that need to get paid and please don't get me wrong, I think we need to pray for the sick. That's our job. But so many times, folks, we ought to just come and fall at His feet and worship Him and say, Lord, help me. Because doesn't the Bible say that the Lord knows our need even before we ask? So if He knows our need and we fall at His feet and worship Him for who He is, hallelujah, and worship Him because we know that He can heal us, we know that He can save our friends, if we just fall at His feet and worship Him, you know what? We'd see a lot more things happen. And we waste a lot of the, we would stop wasting a lot of the singers and the preacher's time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. That is good preaching, isn't it? She said, Lord, help me. And Jesus realized, okay, Lord, Dad, she's persistent. Got to give her that. But lady, it's not fair. It's not fair to take what belongs to my people and give it to you. It's not fair to take the children's bread and give it to you dogs. They called Gentiles dogs back then. And I know that's a slang term we use today when we call people that because they're not really pretty, I should say. That's kind of a slang term we use, I know that, to describe how people look. And we take that as kind of an offense, but Jesus wasn't offending her. If you go home and get your Strong's Concordance and you research what that word dog actually means, it translates to a domestic house puppy. Do you know that? I'm with my hand up, being honest. Domestic house puppy. Now, I hope you're not offended by this, but I don't like dogs. I know I've lost the other half of you now. I'll give you an explanation. I'm scared to death of them. When I was a little boy, about 2 years old, I was jumped on one. Big Irish setter jumped on me, started licking me. I thought he was going to eat me. And I've never been the same since. There's been something in with indelible ink on my mind that I'll never be able to get rid of. When a dog comes around, when I hear the panting of a dog, I get scared. I start sweating, and I have to get out of there. I don't care how little they are. It could be a little Taco Bell dog, and I'm scared to death of it. I know I could kick it right in the teeth, and it'd just leave me, but I'm scared. So I really don't like them. But some of you, man, you love your dogs. You really do. You love them to death. And I'm not downing you for that. I mean, you love them. Some of you are crazy enough to let them in your house. And you know what? You'll treat your dog almost better than your kids sometimes. You'll go out and buy a bunch of dog foods worth about $30 and you'll go to the kids and get a McDonald's drive-thru Happy Meal. Kids, shout amen or something. Hey. But those dogs that you let in your house, you love them. And you know what you do, some of you, when you're eating dinner and you're getting some steak or you got some bread or something and some meat, you'll just cut it off and throw them a little bit. Because you love them. They're your companion. They're your pets. And you love them just as much as one of a member of your own family. Probably love them more than some of your family. So you understand what Jesus was saying. You understand what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying, get away from me, you ugly dog. He was saying, I love you. Just as someone loves a house puppy. But it's not fair. I can't suspend the rules again. Because it's not fair. And I like what she said. She didn't say, well, I never. You call me a dog. I don't have to take this. I'll go somewhere else. She didn't do that. She said, truth. Truth, Lord. Truth. She admitted that she was nothing but a little dog. Doesn't the Bible say that our righteousness is filthy rags? That word filthy, those filthy rags were actually rags that they would have at the door. And when you'd walk in from the day and you'd have the dust on your feet and the animals would be out roaming in the streets and you'd get your feet all dirty and muddy, and what you do is you take those rags that are at the base of the door and you'd wipe your feet off before you enter the house. That's what those rags were talking about. And that's what our righteousness is to God. But you know what? You'll never get anywhere with God if you don't first admit that you are nothing but a dog.
Amen. Amen.
We have so much pride today. I know I'm hitting this again, but we have so much pride within our hearts that we can't admit that we are lost, that we're nothing but dirty, rotten old sinners. But hey, friend, I got news for you tonight. You'll never get anywhere with God unless you admit and fall at His feet and say, Lord, I am nothing but a dog. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Oh, that was the right answer. That was the right answer. She humbled herself and said, Lord, I know I'm nothing but a dog, but you know what? Every now and then, a few of the crumbs from your loaf drops off on the floor, and I know how much power you've got. I know you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I know that a crumb from you can heal my daughter. Hallelujah! Glory to God! When we're going to realize, folks, that one drop of Jesus' blood can save this entire world. One crumb from God can save this entire community. One crumb. We want the whole loaf sometimes. But do we realize how much power that God has? Just one crumb. One crumb can fall our way. And that's all we need. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been dry and you've been hungry. You were just sitting in service, everyone shouting around you, and you didn't feel a thing. And you say, Lord, I know I'm nothing but a dog, and if you could just send a crumb my way. And you know what? Somebody will start singing a good old gospel song. Your preacher will start preaching the Word of God, and that crumb just begins to fall. And you pick up that crumb and start eating it and say, that's good stuff right there. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Woo! One crumb. And he had to look at her and say, woman, I'm going to suspend the rules one more time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to break the rules one more time. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. He was saying, you know what? Your will is matching up with my will. So the way you want it, that's the way you're going to get it. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! I'll steal a line from Burger King tonight. You can have it your way. Amen! Hallelujah! You can have it your way! You know how you can have it your way tonight? If your will matches up with His will. And you've got faith. Faith! Faith! For without it, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Faith is total dependence upon Jesus Christ. You know, us as preachers, sometimes if we fail to get up into a pulpit, even with a Bible in our hand, preaching good, solid doctrine, a good gospel message, if we do it without total dependence upon Jesus Christ, we are committing sin even in the act of preaching. We need to preach with faith. Hallelujah. The way you want it, that's the way you're going to get it. And what I like about it, her daughter was healed. Yes, sir. That very hour.
Amen.
Even before she got to the house, Kevin. Because if you go over to Mark, when she walked in the door, her miracle was already waiting on her. Wow, glory to God! That feels good tonight! You know why? Because some of you tonight, if you just come up here and say, Lord, I know I'm a dog, but I know you can help me. And if you send a crumb my way, I know my miracle can be waiting on me when I get to the house. Woo! Glory! Some of you got unsaved spouses. If you believe God tonight, if you believe God, your miracle can happen tonight. Some of you are sick in body. Sick in body. And if your will match up with God's will, there is no devil in hell that can stop it from happening. Amen. Not at all! Hallelujah. Amen. You can have it your way.
Amen.
He suspended the rules. And aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, the Creator of this universe, the Creator of our bodies, He didn't have to Hallelujah. He didn't have to, but thank God he broke the rules to see someone like you and me saved. Hallelujah. He said, I know I'm come to my own people, but thank God they're going to reject me again. So I'm going to go and die for the people that will accept me. And that's exactly what he did. Every single person upon this earth, he died just for you. All you have to do is just accept this great gift of salvation. And hallelujah, Jesus Christ can save you and set you free. Hallelujah. Woo. Just a crumb. Can I share with you one other thing? I don't care if you tell me to or not. I'm going to. You know, every now and then, I love it when God drops a crumb our way. Because we just need it sometimes. And about 8 months ago, you saw me playing a guitar. I love playing a guitar. I pick a lot of bluegrass at home and just love it. My dad hates me for it because he's an old-fashioned guy. He don't like bluegrass. That's okay. I don't live with him anymore, so I can do whatever I want. But I love it. I love it. About 8 months ago, a friend of mine bought a new Martin D18 Golden Era. Spent a lot of money on that. So he had an older Martin, and I bought it off of him. Gave me a good deal on it, so there it was. My very first Martin guitar. You guys know what Martin guitars are?
Yeah,
they're nice. Very nice. So there it was, a Martin guitar. It was a D15. It wasn't the top of the line, but it was my Martin, you know? My Martin. Sounded good. Had it set up just for me. It was playing real nice. About 2 weeks after I had it, it got stolen out of my car. In my driveway. So I filed a police report and did all that stuff. Insurance came back, and I was really only going to get about $100 by the time you take my deductible out of it and all that. Really don't pay you to have anything stolen. Did that make sense, what I just said? It didn't matter. So, I just forgot about it. I was upset because I finally had what I wanted. God allowed me to get it. And there it was taken away from me. I had a spare guitar, so I was resigned to the fact that God didn't want me to have it. So, this summer has been an exciting summer for my family. My son was born in July the 6th. His name's Alex. Beautiful boy. Looks just like me, as I said last night. And he does look just like me. And got a picture of me when I was 4 months and just looked like twins. That's great. So, baby was born. And in the midst of all this, the Lord laid upon my heart to leave my home church where my mom and dad were and start going to where Calvin Ray pastors at Rubyville. That was a hard move because I wasn't mad at nobody at my home. I wasn't going to get anything when I got to Rubyville. No position waiting on me. God said to go. And so I did it. It was hard. Family didn't like it. But I had to do it. So about 3 weeks after I was there, I was having a great time. Preached a sermon that's in that newspaper on Ruth. Handfuls of Ruth. Handfuls of favor. Handfuls of purpose that God drops our way every now and then. And so I was in my corner of the field doing my part. And Calray called me before service. This was the Sunday after I preached on that previous Wednesday. He said, I need to see you in my office. Now, that's either a real good thing or a real bad thing. So I go into the office and he said, I want your wife to come in. So we got in there. And he said, Brian, someone wanted me to give this to you. And they want to remain anonymous. And they just want you to have it. So he gave me a card, opened it up, and on the front of the card it said, Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. And I opened it up, and it read on the inside, Brian, the Lord laid it upon our heart to get you a guitar. While you was preaching a youth camp service. Now, we didn't know at the time, till after we bought it, that your guitar had been stolen. Please accept this as your handful of favor. Amen. So I turned around. There was a brand new Martin case. Now I know the people at Rubyville, and they could have been joking with me and just got me a Martin case. That'd been a dirty trick, wouldn't it? So I opened it up, and there it was, a brand new Martin D28. Now, the D15 I had, the D28 blows it out of the water. I'll just be honest with you. That's the guitar of guitars. And I said, Cal, this is mine. This is mine. I said, I didn't even pray for it. What did I say at the beginning of my sermon? The Lord knows our need even before we ask it.
Yeah.
And I've been trying my best since I've been preaching, since I've been saved, to fall at His feet every time I have the chance. And just say, Lord, I'm nothing without You. But with You, You can make me into something. And I just want to worship You. And I want to fall at Your feet. And I know I'm nothing but a dog. And Lord, if You just give me the crumbs the rest of my life, that's what I'll live on. Because I know a crumb from You is all I need. And thank God that day, Jeff, He dropped the crumb my way. Now, I'm not saying if you fall at His feet and worship Him, God's going to drop a D28 in your lap. But what I am saying is you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I didn't say He'll give you what your heart desires. It said He'll give you the desires. He'll give you the right desires. And if you put Him first, all these things will be added unto you. But you have to put Him first. And I don't know about you, but I desire the Lord to be the center of my life. And you're looking at the happiest man on the face of this earth. Not because I got a Martin D28. Not because I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful kids. Not because I have a great pastor. Not even because I'm here at the Valley Decision this week. I'm happy because I'm in the center of God's will. Glory to God! Hallelujah! I might not have the most money. Oh, I know I don't have a lot of money. My car has a lot of miles on it. I don't have a very big house to live in. But thank God, I'm the happiest man on the face of this earth because God is the center of my life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And if you put Him in His rightful place, you'll be surprised at what can happen in a matter of time. Get Him in the center of your will. Fall at His feet and worship Him. And your miracle will be waiting on you at the house. Amen. Let's all stand.